This is a working session. And what I mean by that is we're about to give you a case study in a fair amount of detail. And what I want to ask you to do is to take notes on this case just like you would if you were counseling these persons. So you'll need to find a blank sheet of paper, or maybe the back of one of the pages of notes that's not filled in yet, or maybe right on the back of the shirt of the person sitting in front of you. I would encourage you not yet to write on the page that has all the boxes and arrows. It's your business. You can do what you want, but I would encourage you not to do that yet. If you could possibly click those binders about 4 million times, that would be really helpful. Now, this is a working session. That's what I was talking to you about. So you got some note paper ready? I'm asking you to take notes on this case just like you would if you were counseling these persons, and you're going to need your notes at the end of the session. So do the very, very best that you can. Now, a few things about this. This is a composite case. And what I mean by that is everything that I'm about to say to you has been said to me at one time or another, just not by the same person. So if on the one hand, when I get done telling you this story, if you jump up and say, well, I know these people. No, you don't. I'm taking true things from several different cases and melding them together for reasons that might become obvious as we move through this. On the other hand, if you say, oh, nobody would have ever said that, you really shouldn't wrinkle up your face at me like that. Everything I'm about to say to you has been said to me at one time or another, just not by the same person. So are you ready? Let's try that again. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Are you excited about taking on this case? Because the whole idea here is we're going to try to take these six key elements and we're going to try to work them through in a particular case. That's the point. That's the method to the madness. You ready? Okay, so here we go. Let's call these folks John and Mary. John and Mary are in their late 50s. John and Mary are married to one another. John and Mary would say they're followers of Jesus Christ. They attend a good church. They'd be able to sign your doctrinal statement or mine. They're also relatively significant lay leaders in this church. And so they're well known in the church. They're serving in all sorts of ways, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, some of the data that you just gather as you're observing them, as you're reading the PDI, you're looking at the pink sheet, John is a very passive man. John's a poor communicator. John is a clamor-upper, we would say, from a communication perspective. He's a big guy. It weighs about 285, so he's a big man, but he does not like to deal with problems. He does not like to communicate at all. John is very discouraged on this particular day. It may even be depressed. And even though he's a mountain of a man, he looks and he acts like he might cry at any moment. So you know you've got a crisis on your hands here for sure, and you figured that out. You're barely 5-10 minutes into the session. You already know that to be the truth. Now, Mary is wife. Mary is a very dominant woman. Mary is a blower-upper. Mary has not clammed up a day in her life, you don't suspect. Now, what's interesting, Mary, too, is she's a hard-working person. John is as well. In fact, you'd call both of them plotters. They plot along that they're hard-working people. Mary is upset emotionally, but she's trying to give you the impression that she's not. She's trying to give you the impression she's got this. And I want to be very careful because I don't believe in judging people by their appearance. But she's kind of overdressed for the counseling session. And her lip is quivering, but she's biting it from the backside to try to give you the impression that she's got this under control. But it's pretty obvious that things are unwinding. They're unraveling for her. They're unraveling for both of them. This is a crisis session for sure. Now, some of the data you get in just the first session, John has recently become the co-owner of a business. He went into business with 8 other Christian men. The difference is the other guys are just silent partners, meaning that they put up money, but they kept their jobs in other places. John also put up money. But he resigned from his previous position, and he was hired by this group to run the business on their behalf. So he's the active partner. It's a small manufacturing company, about 40 employees. They would all say that one of the primary reasons they went into business was evangelistic. They wanted to operate their business in such a way that it would attract their employees and attract their customers to Christ. John, in turn, hired Mary to be his office manager, actually his secretary, and kind of self-appointed office manager. Now, that would have been a good time for a groan. And I want to be very careful because you don't want to jump ahead. You don't want to get ahead of your data. But on the other hand, you're not just writing down facts. You're always trying to assimilate constantly. And the reason you're trying to assimilate is that's what tells you the next question you ought to ask. And so it's kind of like you have to do to your data what a guy does to the crock pot. And ladies, you may not know this, and so let me just confess right now that you know what a crock pot is, right? And I figured you did. And you know how it is, and you've got something to do that day, and so you throw some stuff in the crock pot, and then you go off and do all sorts of stuff. And if it's a day where your husband is home, like fixing the brakes on the car or something like that, and he happens to walk through the kitchen, do you understand what happens next? He's wired this way. And by the way, you do believe biblically that men are different than women? Do you believe that? Do you believe God created them male? Do you agree with that theologically? And therefore, there ought to be differences between men and women that you ought to celebrate. Do we all agree with that? Could I have a mm-hmm on that? Now, girls are fine. Boys are fine, but they're just differently fine. So anyway, when a guy walks through the kitchen and you got something in the crock pot, I'll tell you exactly what he's going to do. He's going to take the lid off of that thing and he's going to sniff it. And it doesn't matter if he has a cold, okay? It has nothing to do with that. He's going to sniff whatever you got in the crock pot. And then you know what he's going to do next? I'm going to tell you exactly what he's going to do. He's going to take his finger and he's going to put it down in there and he's going to sample whatever you got in the crock pot. And you say, wait a minute, he was just fixing the brakes. I know, but he's going to do that. And don't worry about germs. I mean, I really do believe we're too clean as a culture anyway. That's one of the reasons we have all this disease. And so there's nothing wrong with your husband doing that at all. You agree with me on that? Don't leave me up here by myself. That is what, right, that's just the way guys are. You got to check out what's in the crock pot. And by the way, ladies, do you know what you're supposed to do? I realize you would never do that. Right? You would never sniff the thing. You would never put your finger in there, especially after you were doing the break. You as a lady, and we wouldn't expect you to. But if you happen to come into the kitchen and you find your husband right in the middle of that, you do understand what you're supposed to. Well, maybe we ought to start negatively. You understand what you're not supposed to do? You would never fuss at your husband about that. I know you would not do that, but he's different than you and you want him to be different, right? And so you cannot fuss. What you need to say is, you are such a man right now. Do you need to write that down? You are like such a, this is really, come on, I need to smooch your face like right now, okay? So we all got that? Oh, everybody got that? Okay. And that was totally free, okay, totally free. The point of that little story, other than to irritate you just a little bit more, was that's what you do in the counseling room. You got this crock pot of data, and every so often you just take the lid off of the crock pot and you give it a good sniff. And frankly, the data I've already put in this crock pot tells you this is not smelling so good. This is really not going to go to a good place, and it wasn't. Mary had this habit of making decisions without asking anybody. And this is not pile on Mary. There's going to be plenty of sin for all God's children before this story is over. But Mary had this habit of making decisions without asking anybody. So what would be typical Mary-type behavior for her to decide that the business needed new stationery? So she's the one who would pick the color. She's the one who would select the paper. She's the one who would decide how many pages or how many sheets they were going to have printed. The first thing John would know anything about it is when he saw one of his letters come off on that new stationery. That would just be typical Mary-type behavior. Well, part of the challenge is that the business is not doing well, especially from the perspective of cash flow. These guys just grossly underestimated how much raw cash would have to be fed into this business before they would ever start seeing a return, much less a profit. And frankly, they're getting worried. They're worried that they're going to lose their money. And so what they're doing is they're having power lunches. once a week, everybody that comes from their various jobs, and John brings the financials.